There was an important political development on the weekend after a prolonged suspense. Now we have some clarity about the time frame for the election of the next Congress president. So on Saturday, the Congress Working Committee met, and after deliberations, it was decided that the elections to the Congress president's post will be held in September next year. Now you may argue one year later, it's still a long time to go, but anyway, at least there's some clarity. And the bigger thing from the Congress's point of view is that Rahul Gandhi has finally or seems to have agreed to become the president again. So when many CWS members were asking him to take over the party, he said, okay, I will consider it. So from the beginning, we have known that it is going to be a Gandhi only. And when Rahul Gandhi is finally saying that he'll consider contesting in the election or consider taking over that responsibility, so you know that Rahul Gandhi will be the president of the Congress again in 2017, September 2017. What did it mean for the Congress? I mean, immediately you can say, okay, finally the Gandhis have laid out the map to fully take over the party. Fully, I'm saying, because there has been a lot of debate in the party about this part-time president and how nobody is running the party as such, and just repression of Congress leaders. So you will have a full-fledged president of the party in September 2017. But before that, what it means for the Congress, this decision, before I come to that question, let me give you some figures. So this, I'm talking about this India Today's biannual surveys on mood of the nation. It has been going on for years. India Today has been doing it for years. But the survey results give us some indicator of what it means for the Congress. So let's start with 2010. So last survey I have taken up, that is MOTN, mood of the nation survey in 2010. In August 2010, when the survey was conducted, 29% of the respondents, they chose Rahul Gandhi as the best prime minister. The question was, who will be the best prime minister? 29% respondent chose Rahul, and 9% chose then Gujarat Chief Minister Narendra Modi. It was still in the realm of a speculation whether Modi would come to the center or not, but of course pollsters were at it and they were asking questions also. So in August 2010, the tally read 29% for Rahul, 9% for Modi. Next two polls, in January and August 2011, in these two surveys also, Rahul Gandhi had a lead. So Rahul got about 20 and 21% respondents to favor his candidature. In contrast, Modi could get just about 9 and 12% votes. 9 and 12% respondents in those two surveys found him the best suited prime minister, actually. So that was till August 2011. In January 2012 MOTN survey, Modi secured a lead over Rahul Gandhi. That was the first time. So 24% respondents thought that Modi would be the best suited for the prime ministership, for the prime minister's post, and only 17% thought Rahul would be best suited. So first time it started when Modi got a lead over Rahul Gandhi, when respondents were asked the question, who will be the best prime minister? And from January 2012 onwards, as I said, it's a biannual survey. MOTN surveys are conducted twice every year. It has been on. So from January 2012 onwards till today, Modi has continued to maintain that lead. Before he became the PM, after he became the PM, even today. So look at this now. Now you look at, cut it to August 2021 survey. Now in 21 survey, when you're talking about August 2021, let's keep it in our minds that, the survey was conducted at a time when Modi is facing 7 years of anti-incumbency, over 7 years of anti-incumbency, in fact. Pandemic has had its impact on his popularity rating. So if you look at the polls, last three polls from August 2020 onwards, there has been a massive dip in his popularity rating, the prime minister's popularity rating, I mean. So in August 2020, and you must have heard of it, there has been a lot of debate. So from 66% in August 2020, the Modi's popularity rating has come down to 24% in August 2021. In January, in fact, from 66, it went down to 38, from there to 24. When you look at Modi's popularity rating plummeting, does it give any hope to the Congress? Let's look at the figures. So in the last three surveys, when we see Modi's rating coming down from 66 to 38 to 24, Rahul's rating has gone up from 8% down to 7% in January 21, and then inching up to just 10%. So only 10% of the respondents, even today as we speak, I'm talking about the August 21 survey, only 10% of the respondents find him best suited as the Prime Minister. Despite all that incumbency we have talked about, despite the economic issues that everybody is talking about, pandemic problems, Modi still has a clear edge over Rahul. So despite his popularity rating going down, 24% of the respondents in August found him to be the best suited on that post. For Rahul, it's still 10%. So as you have seen, like last we saw when first time Modi had got a lead over Rahul way back in January 2012, the tally read like 24 for Modi, 17 for Rahul Gandhi. 10 years later, the tally is reading 24 for Modi, 10 for Rahul. So Rahul has only lost further ground. So when we are talking about the CWC deliberations, it's not about who would be the best prime ministerial candidate of the Congress. Because you have seen that Rahul is hardly a match to Modi, and we have had data, surveys over the past 10 decades to suggest that. So let's look at it as an internal Congress exercise. What does it mean for the Congress? Forget about Rahul versus Modi battle. He's not a winner in the sense that his acceptability as a prime ministerial candidate is still much, much below PM Modi, even today. From the Congress's point of view, I said, it's now in August 2021 MOTN poll, 45% respondents said that Congress would be better off without the Gandhi family. But 46% said no. So almost evenly matched. Before that, it's actually the Gandhis would feel better, because in January's survey, it was 52% of the respondents said that Congress would be better off without the Gandhis. In August 2020, it was 49%. So you look at this data, figures may change slightly here and there, but it's like evenly split. The opinion about the necessity of the Gandhis in the Congress, 45, 49, 52% don't want Gandhis to actually hold the reins of the party, and these respondents think that the party is better off without the Gandhis. Be that it may, and then talk about the desperation of the respondents. And in fact, in January 2021 survey, 16% thought that Dr. Manmohan Singh, the former PM, he would be the best suited as the next PM compared to Rahul's 15. So it was for the first time that, you know, some non-Gandhi family member got more votes than a Gandhi, say Rahul. So coming back to the CWC meeting, what happened there? Of course, Gandhi's supremacy has been established. You won't really see many dissenting voices in the coming months, because there is some clarity that, okay, Gandhi is back, so Rahul Gandhi will be back as the Congress president. A few months from now, you'll have assembly elections, and Gandhis would be looking to get some victories in some states to basically, you know, generate that momentum in favor of Rahul Gandhi's candidacy in the next election. So at the CWC meeting, AICC in charge of different states gave their kind of report card, like what are the Congress's prospects in the coming assembly elections. Priyanka Gandhi, she is AICC in charge of UP, she was a bit forthright. She said, you know, things are very difficult in UP, we are trying, but let's see what happens. So she was not giving much hope to the party as such, and rightfully so, because you know the Congress's prospects in UP. When it came to Manipur and Goa, the state in charges were saying that, you know, Trinamool Congress may eat into our vote bank, it may become problematic. And, you know, Mamata Banerjee must be laughing. If she hears it, she'll laugh it loud, because, you know, Trinamool Congress had just entered Goa just a few weeks back, and the Congress is already feeling the heat. Congress is already calling it a challenge. That's their internal assessment. Anyway, so coming to the other two states, Punjab and Uttarakhand, these AICC in charges were very confident that the party is going to win those elections. And Rahul Gandhi will also hope so. Because, you know, you are not just, don't even talk about two states. If Rahul Gandhi manages to win even Punjab, it will be a big victory for him, because we have discussed it, the kind of decisions he has taken in Punjab. If those decisions are vindicated by a victory in the polls, it will give a big boost to his candidature. Not that it would matter otherwise, but then it will be like, you know, he will come out as a, or he will be projected as some kind of a strategist who engineered the downfall of an unpopular chief minister, so to say. And, you know, he will be created for bringing up a Dalit Sikh as a chief minister, which worked. So everybody will start talking about him as a sharp strategist, some kind of an image makeover. Whatever happens, we don't know. Not that if the Congress loses all the states, it will matter much. You know, in September, you have to have presidential election. After that, you have Himachal and Gujarat elections. So congressmen, regardless of the results, will be reconciled to Rahul Gandhi's return to the top post. And then they will start preparing for the next election. The complications that may arise then would be at the state level. So at the CWC meeting, for instance, Rahul very proudly declared that, you know, when I informed Channi that he would be the next CM, Channi started crying. So he was trying to show it as, you know, his generosity or his political acumen to pick up the right candidate and empower a Dalit Sikh there in Punjab. But in the process, he might have rebutted his mother also, because Sonia Gandhi asserted very firmly in the CWC meeting that she is not a part-time president or interim president, she is a full-time president. It was a rebuttal to Kapil Sibal's comment that he does not know who is taking decisions in the party. So Sonia Gandhi retorted, basically saying that she is a full-time president. But when Rahul Gandhi is informing the CWC that when I informed Channi that he will be the prime minister, the chief minister, he is virtually rebutting his mother's claim that she is the full-time president. Rahul is basically telling everybody that he is taking the decisions, which is true also. So there was no need for this facade anyway. Rahul Gandhi takes that decision, claims it, he is owning up Channi now. What happens to Navjot Singh Sidhu? You know, Navjot Singh Sidhu, his wrath, in fact, it spares none. Now it's very clear that if Congress manages to win Punjab elections, Sidhu won't be the person, because Channi has become Rahul's man. And Channi will continue to, Channi will be the next CM if the Congress wins there. And Navjot Singh Sidhu must be realizing it. So let's see what he does in the coming days and weeks. Then there are other implications. Like say, there were lots of talks about the possible change of guard in Chhattisgarh and Rajasthan. Now when you're holding presidential election in September, the Congress High Command won't really like to disturb the status quo in these two states, or to basically go for any change of guard in Rajasthan and Chhattisgarh. So Ashok Gehlot and Bhupesh Baghel are quite safe until September next year at least. But then their detractors, say Sachin Pilot in Rajasthan and T.S. Singhdev in Chhattisgarh, are they going to be reconciled with this fact? Very unlikely. Let's see what happens, we don't know. I mean, these are some imponderables Congress High Command might have thought of, but has decided to take the risk and let it play out. Bigger question is, what happens to G23 now? In fact, I should call it G22, because Jitin Prasad has already walked out, he has joined the BJP. Rather, G21, because Veerappa Moily has already clarified he is not part of this group anymore. And this group is further diminishing, I would say, in strength, because you saw at the CWC meeting, you have people like G23 members, like Ghulam Nabi Azad, Anand Sharma, Mukul Vasnik, everybody trying his best to impress on the High Command that they had nothing against Sonia Gandhi and they were not questioning Sonia Gandhi. So they have also kind of laid down their arms. That group is diminishing, but others who are left, some very powerful voices, like say Kapil Sibal, Manish Tiwari, Shashi Tharoor, what is going to happen to them? And they have seen the way the Congress High Command has been reacting. So you had this Rajya Sabha bipoles. Congress could have got a Rajya Sabha seat from the DMK, because in the last assembly election, there was this agreement between the Congress and the DMK that if Congress were to contest just 25 seats, the DMK would spare a Rajya Sabha seat for a Congress candidate. Given Ghulam Nabi Azad's equations with the DMK leadership right from Karunanidhi's time, if the Congress had pushed his candidature, DMK would have spared that seat for the Congress, but Congress High Command did not. The Congress High Command decided to let that seat go, but not push Azad's candidature. Similarly, in Maharashtra, for instance, there was one seat or one seat that the MVA government or the MVA, the three-party coalition, could have given to the Congress. It was in Congress's quota. Milind Devora, again another contender, another G23 member who was eyeing that seat, eyeing that Rajya Sabha berth. Congress High Command did not oblige. Congress High Command picked up Rajni Patil. She was a Rajya Sabha member earlier also, but in terms of her political stock, I really wonder what the Congress is going to gain from that choice. But the idea was to basically snub Milind Deora. So as you see, the G23 members, even if they decide to keep quiet and don't raise any issues in future, they're not going to have an easy time in the Congress. What are the options before them then? Now that Gandhis are back, well, Gandhi's supremacy is back, I would say, because they have charted out this entire plan where Rahul Gandhi will be back as Congress president. They are in full command today, especially after the last Sri Lucy meeting. What happens to G23 or G21, as I was explaining? The options before them, most of the members left in the G23 now, they are ideologically committed and they have been very much against the BJP in its ideology. So going to the BJP is not a great option for them, and that option is not open. And some of them, even if they are okay with the ideological flexibility, probably the BJP may not have much to offer them either. There have been so many defectors coming from so many parties that BJP had been adjusting them, but BJP does not need more defectors anymore. I mean, some estates here and there, yes, but not to the extent that, you know, some big party leader from Congress comes and he gets a cabinet berth, as Jyotiraditya Sindhia got, or he gets a Rajya Sabha berth. It's going to be difficult. One is the ideological rigidity of some of these members, another is BJP's inability to basically give them or to reward them with something that will really satisfy them. So that BJP option is gone. What is the other option for the G23? If they have to look beyond the Congress. So there you have this Trinamool Congress option come. If you remember Goa's Congress leader Luizinho Faleiro, before he left the Congress and joined the Trinamool Congress, he declared that, you know, my dream is to bring together the old Congress family and fight against the BJP. So when you talk about the old Congress family, there is a long list, right, from Jagan Mohan Reddy to Mamata Banerjee, Sharad Pawar, you count it. You have many regional setups all around. Is that practical? Can all of them be brought together? Very difficult question to answer, but it's for sure like it's a very difficult proposition to bring all those forces together, the old family, old Congress family. And Mamata Banerjee, like what is Mamata Banerjee outside West Bengal? Who will vote for Mamata Banerjee? To that, I would counter that, okay, I mean, who are Gandhis? Do you think if general thing has been, everybody talks about the Congress getting 20% of the votes, but are these votes for the Gandhis? In general elections I'm talking about, in Lok Sabha elections, last two Lok Sabha elections they got 20%. But these votes are not necessarily for Gandhi, they are Congress votes. So to say that Gandhis, you are better off under Gandhi and you are not better off under Mamata because Mamata is not known outside West Bengal or she cannot get votes out of West Bengal is a somehow, I don't know, that's a very problematic formulation. But is that possible? Maybe in politics you don't rule out anything. And don't forget, in coming weeks and months, we'll also see that there are many regional satraps in the Congress who are actually getting sidelined. You have somebody like Bhupinder Hooda in Haryana, you have somebody like Umen Chandy, Ramesh Chenitala in Kerala, you have even Karnataka, for instance, the state will go to polls in 2023. You have this Siddaramaiah versus D.K. Shivakumar thing happening. So you have all these regional satraps with big aspirations looking to get high command support. In the coming months, if they have clarity that, you know, they are not going to get much in the party, maybe when you talk about this concept of old Congress family, that concept may start getting resonance, I would say. But we are not very clear about it, because it's a concept, it's at a very conceptual stage. It's quite incipient, I would say. What happens, we don't know, but one thing we know, that okay, G23 might have lost the battle for now, but the war is still on. Please watch this space for regular updates, especially on this. That's it from me in this episode of Politically Correct. Thank you.